Hello, folks. Welcome to another episode, this episode, all of those of Just Jay. Apologies if you hear a fan in the background. It's either that or Sugar Rush on Netflix, so I don't want to be outshined. Anyways, today I think it would be fun to discuss the audience, both you guys, and in a physical theater setting, theater with an ER, it's a callback. There haven't been any audiences in theaters. Well, I mean, there have, but there's like two people. So I think I found this website that was, the title is 17 Theater Questions I Think Are Pertinent and Worthy of Discussion. I haven't really analyzed these ahead of time because I wanted to do my in-the-moment thoughts. Who wrote this? I don't know. Well, they sound smart, so it's probably somebody smart, but let's go. Oh, I guess these aren't really questions, just kind of discussion topics. So, the audience's knowledge of current events. I think that is something, well, I mean, they all are something to be taken into account, but I guess that would factor in, because if it is very current and now, like I discussed in Anna Deavere Smith, Twilight Los Angeles, if you have absolutely no idea what's going on, then I think that would contribute to your overall thoughts of what was happening, because if you can't call back to it, or if you feel other people are understanding it and you aren't, that might leave a bad taste in your mouth and make you feel excluded from the situation. And then you walk away with a negative experience. Ooh, the traffic conditions on the day of the show. That's very interesting, because people, not everyone has road rage. And I think it also manifests itself differently, because if someone pulls out in front of you, some people might hit the horn. Some people might be like, oh, that's silly Billy. And other people might rear end them. So, and it could be like slushy. They could be nervous from driving in the winter. I know I am. There was one time I was driving and I was braking to turn. And for some reason, my car just flipped around into the other lane, like perfectly just centered. Like, I've been driving, but I just stopped. Luckily, there weren't any cars coming on the other side. But I took that as a sign that I wasn't meant to go where I was supposed to be going. So I just followed that road back home. Oh, anyways, I feel like if people still have those angry feelings coming in, then they can't really breathe and let go and kind of dive into the material. The next one is the comfort or discomfort of the room. This is important because, especially with the subject matter, oh, we'll get into that later, affects everyone differently. Even if you're like twins who never separated, it still, I feel like, affects, especially the context of what's going on. If you've kind of internalize it and can't really focus on it, if you're uncomfortable with what's going on. But if you're comfortable, then you and the person beside you who doesn't feel safe, I guess, are going to be two completely different. See, here's the thing. That's my thing with like reviewers or like theater critics. Like, why is this one person make or break how well a show does? Roger Ebert is a big film one. Like, why is he the end all be all? Or like, why does a certain person's, anyone, like food, restaurant reviews, theater reviews, movie reviews, it's like people look to those and decide if they want to see it instead of just experiencing it and just going for it. I don't remember how we got here, but it probably makes sense. The next one is the collective level of education, income, and prejudices. That seems like a whole other thing in itself, but I guess because, again, I guess it's just backgrounds of what's going on. And I guess that also depends on the writer and, well, that, but the whole creative team to make it as accessible as possible. Because if you're some like posh ho that's like, we are going to discuss the monarchy, like people, I'd say the vast majority of folks don't really understand that. And if you're commenting on, or like if a, I'm just going to use posh as like a generalized term for the privileged folks. If a posh person tries to write the experiences of someone who hasn't had as many opportunities as them, then it's going to seem a little pompous. But if a lower class person writes the experience of the upper, then it's kind of a comment on what's going on. And it's like witty and sly, which I think that's a very cool, maybe not cool. That's a point of view that I think is a note of discussion, which is why I'm doing it right now. Collective knowledge of the theater canon in contemporary works. Ooh. Bitches love to reference, because we talked about it earlier, like references and knowledge of pop culture is a currency. Because if you don't get it, then it's like, that happens on Drag Race a lot. It's like, if you don't get RuPaul's reference, you're like going home. But there are so many things happening all the time. Not everyone knows everything, you know? So I guess that's also another thing to take into account when you're making the show. I'm not saying like sacrifice for the masses, but just kind of take in, because even like autobiographies have a sort of generalized appeal. Because if I sit here talking about how I'm wearing my purple sweatpants, who cares? Like, oh, side note, I was in a linguistics class once, and we were tasked with making the word sweatpants an adverb. I'm just gonna give you a minute to, I had no idea, but if give you a minute to see if you can come up with something. A minute's too long. The example that was given by the professor was, oh, I'm not just comfortable, I'm sweatpants comfortable. Which now that just, I know linguistics is like words and sounds, but like that just opens my mind about words and sounds. Okay, next is the notion of trigger, as in trauma, and its relationship to the audience experience in the theater. Okay, here's the thing. Hoes love to say like, oh, triggered, but that's legitimate mental trauma. Like, you're bringing up negative feelings and experiences and emotions, and if you completely disregard that, then you're not taking care of the audience, and they're not going to feel safe in the presence. Now, obviously, I think it's important to do it at the beginning, especially like the physical ones, like there's flashing lights and gun sounds, but also the content of the show, where it's like, we will be discussing these sensitive topics. And I think preparing the audience is way better than just doing it, because if you know, then you can kind of set up your defenses, I guess. I hope this is all stringing together. Okay, the anatomy of attention, shortening and lengthening attention spans, modern, pre-modern, and post-modern. Ooh, okay. So I guess this is, we can call back to Glenn Ross. You know what? I'm going to be vulnerable and not really edit this. I'm just showing my emotional side. Okay, anatomy of attention. Glenn Ross, oh my god, that's okay. Paula Vogel would accept the mispronunciations. You're sitting there watching two men talk for hours. Like, somebody with a short attention span, 2 seconds in, they're already thinking about something else, and if you're trying to say something, then the message will be completely lost, you know? I have trouble focusing on things, which is good and bad, I guess, because I can kind of pick up on things happening in the background. Like, musicals have 8 million different things going on, and I kind of look at all the things going on and kind of get it together. But if there is just something being talked at, then I'm already thinking of other things. So I think getting that balance of getting across what you want to say, but don't be boring about it. Okay, next one. What audience experiences are valid or invalid, and how does someone attend one without a view of having to write about it critically later? Okay, the next one is, what audience experiences are valid or invalid, and how does someone attend one with a view of having to write about it critically later? Okay, see, this is where theater classes have ruined things for me, because every show I had to go write a paper about it, and so I had to think of things that I was going to say in my paper, which kind of took away from the experiencing of the show, and like, I just want to view it. I just want to experience it and then take what I want from it and go. Valid and invalid experiences. I don't know if anyone's experiences are technically invalid, but I guess if you are writing about it critically, you can't just make stuff up. Like, I guess factually can't make stuff up. Okay. The poetics of audience participation. Shout out one of my professors, Carrie Hay. This was like her entire thesis. Actually, the audience as a whole was her entire thesis. Getting the audience involved, I think, is a huge part, because it lets them know that they're included and safe. It kind of gets them more enjoying it, I think, because they are also a part of it. So they have this sense of accomplishment. Also, when I say they, I'm just like, the concept of an audience, like me and you, Susan, listening. Yeah, so audience participation is a way to go about it. And I think there are different ways to do it. Like, there's literally looking at someone and being like, hey, you're a part of this, or bringing someone up on stage. But there's also kind of, like, we did a show with Carrie where before the show, you were being served snacks and there were things to do before that kind of welcomed you in and that kind of went with the show that was going on. Like, in that show, I was a planned attendant where I would go around giving me and another person, McKenna Hay, would go around like serving people water and asking if they wanted anything to eat. And it was, I felt the connection when they were like, you know what? Yeah. Because traditionally you go into a show, you sit there, watch it, and leave. But if someone's like, you know, they kind of care about me, then they feel more involved in listening and the intake of the material. The next one is the social conditions of immersive and participatory theater. That was a hard word to say. Internet, urban sprawl, new forms of alienation, and new forms of socialization. We have so much content being thrown at us all the time, and it's almost theatrical. Like, if you're watching Nikki tutorials, she's putting on a show for us. Like, when she's doing her makeup by herself, she's not like narrating the entire time and like talking to no one. Well, I mean, the audience, but like a camera. And so that's way more personal than you being 15 feet away watching someone in a proscenium. So that kind of can shape your views. Like, if you go into a show for the first time, having been consuming these intimate theatrical natures, or I guess new forms of alienation, like you get your interactions from the internet, and that kind of human experience is lost a little bit, I guess. So you're watching, oh my God, I sound like a boomer. You're watching real people interact. And it's a completely different experience, because, you know, those keyboard warriors are like, bitch. But dealing with those situations in real life are completely different. And I hate conflict. So I'm like, I'd say half a keyboard warrior, if I'm being honest and vulnerable. Sure, that was good. Okay, the last one is the changing quality of listeners' responsibility for the message received. So I guess that is taking away. So there's the writer perspective of what they want audience to get out of it. Then the director takes that and put their own spin on it and then passes it along to the creative team. And then that goes into the set and the costumes and the lighting and the sound, and the props, like that combined wants to give a message to the audience. But it's subjective, because like two people seeing the exact same thing are going to walk away with two completely different messages. And that's kind of a new, it's always evolving, because of everything we've talked about. It's personal experiences, social experiences, all bringing that in one person. They'll take away different messages from the show. All right. That seemed good. Let me see. There are other questions. Let's see if any of these are audience related. Ooh, this one's fun. Theater as inherently an event rather than representation of an event, thus more likely to become revolution than to enlighten people on the need for revolution. That is great. So the whole, I think that goes back to audience participation, is because the representation of an event is just like, oh, we are like, we gotta, there's like standards, I guess, for going in. Maybe, okay, let's think about this. So theater is an event. Yeah. I think that's what I was saying, that there is like some people dress up and some people like go in, like, you know, not to be on your phone. Some people don't. Like, I think an event has rules, I guess, like structure. And representation of an event kind of makes it seem like it's not, there's no substance. And so the revolution, if people are involved, then they're like, oh, I can do this too, because they personally walk away fulfilled. But if you just say, hey, here's an idea, like, you're not engaging with it. And I think that's where it becomes revolution instead of enlightening revolution. Ooh, criticism as interpretation versus criticism as evaluation. So I guess if you interpretize something in your own way and then criticize it, then I feel like that's where the waters get a little murky, because everyone interprets it differently. And but if it's evaluated, that is more technical. Like, there, again, there are rules that you follow. Like, you score it pretty, I feel like it's, the first thing came to mind was a car show. Don't know why. But if you're like, oh, this engine gets a 9 out of 10, you're criticizing it. And I think criticism is both negative and positive. It is negative and positive. It's all aspects of it. So if you can give evidence as to why your criticism is valid, that's different than feeling, I guess. I think they're both valid, but it just depends on which one you want to listen to. Is this smart? Am I being smart? I don't know. Anywho, my time is almost up on our recording software. So I am going to sign off here. If you decide to comment on us, do you like the scripted thing more, or just like the free flowing thought? Because personally, when I write a script, I know what I'm saying and I don't miss any points I want to make. But free flow, I feel, is more personable, but I can also ramble and sound like a dunce. So criticize me. Oh my God, criticize it. Oh, I might have to cut that clap out. Anyways, that is all for me today. I hope you enjoyed my sultry voice. And also, it is very dry, so we got a little bit of a huskiness to it. If you liked what you heard, give us that old subscription of yours. We put out new podcasts whenever. And if you'd like to follow us on Twitter, it is @HighbrowTheater, where you can keep up with our hijinks and shenanigans. And there's also audience participation in that. So if you would like to feel included, then by all means, become a part of it. All right. So bye.